The NCOP rules provide that members present must elect one member amongst themselves to chair the committee in the absence of the chairperson. I'm going to open the process for nominations for the acting chairperson, and then we proceed with the meeting. Honorable Hasmin.
Honorable Rand Thomas, the whip of the committee, always does the pleasure of chairing these committees, and she chairs them very well. I like her style. So I propose that she chairs today.
Today I propose Honorable Michael de Villiers for the first time, and if not, I would like to be excused for this meeting. Thank you.
Mr. Faber, I'm still explaining the procedure and chairing. Do we have any second for the Honorable Ranto? Okay, do we have any further nomination? Is there any further nomination?
I nominated Honorable de Villiers. Then I will second Ferranti if Honorable de Villiers is like not one to nominate him, not being available.
Ms. Ranto is now the acting chairperson for the committee. Ms. Ranto, you can chair your meeting.
Can I sit here? Good morning, honorable members. From the Department of Science and Technology, our officials. I am the acting chairperson, as you have heard. I don't think we have to introduce each other. In fact, this department, we've last met them at the beginning of 2013, I don't think members to remember your names, remember you even. The faces, I will give over to the members to start introducing themselves. I am already introduced. I'm from Eastern Cape. In the NCOP, we represent provinces. We usually, when a department is bringing anything to us, except the bill, any other thing to us, we would love the department to state it in provinces, because we're all here representing all of the provinces that we have in South Africa. I want also to apologize in the same breath about the, I don't want to say the turmoil that you have just seen, the uncomfortability that you have just seen. Yesterday in the House, a member of DA has resigned in the DA and joined the ANC the same minute when she resigned in the DA. So the tensions are still not, we still have tensions between the two organizations. So you might see, Ilendo, some activities that are happening between us. And it's unfortunate now we don't have any other organization in between. We've got only ANC and DA. Your point of order is accepted.
The point of order I want to make, if people is not in electable positions and they jump
I
ship,
want to I'm
not
doing
be
this because you are just causing a chaos in the meeting, and you think that we are joking. We are in power, we are in government as the organization. Can we introduce ourselves? That over to you, Honorable Jasmine.
Okay. Namonde Jasmine from Northwest.
Chairperson, my name is Michael de Villiers. I'm representing the Western Cape, the Select Committee. In my understanding, we here as members and not as political parties. It is unacceptable from your side and also from Honorable Faber's side to bring in politics in this committee. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable de Villiers.
Honourable Chair, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Willem Faber and I represent the Northern Cape Province for the Democratic Alliance.
My name is Thabo Makunyane. I'm from Limpopo and very much ANC. Uncompromising.
Over to you, the Department of Science and Technology.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning, to the Honourable Members. My name is Nombuyiselo Mukwena. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for Corporate Services at the Department of Science and Technology. Through the Chairperson's permission, request that my colleagues introduce themselves. Thanks, Chairperson. I will start, Ryan, and then you'll come back, the parliamentary representative.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Brian Mutwa. I am a consultant assisting legal services in the department.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Shirley Munsami. I am the Director of Legal Services at the department.
Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Happy Mulise from the Department of Science and Technology, Director responsible for governance.
Good morning, Honourable Acting Chair and Members. I'm Martin Mulcahy. I'm a Special Advisor to Minister Arnacon.
Morning, everyone. My name is Shama Natu. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer for Minister Arnacon.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. I am Parliament's Legal Advisor, so I'm your Legal Advisor. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Good morning, Honourable Members and colleagues. My name is Sisa Makavele from the Office of the Chief Legal Advisor.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Members. I'm Megan from PMG.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, the Department. My name is Christoph and I'm from 7-8.
Good morning, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. I think everybody has got an agenda in front of him or her. There's only one item that we are going to listen to today. It's the briefing by the Department of Science and Technology on the Science and Technology Laws Amendment Bill. Let me first welcome everybody to this meeting. It has been too long. It has been very long for us to have been meeting this department. We know that maybe we don't have much activities with the department, but we still represent provinces. And whatever the department is doing is not doing it in a national sphere only. The department is doing it in the provinces. So I'm just reminding the department that there is still a second house in the national parliament, that is the NCOP. We would like to know what is the department doing in our provinces. Not to hear that if the Department of Science and Technology has arrived in Northern Cape, has launched such and such a thing in Northern Cape, has made a program in Eastern Cape at Alice, and we're not informed as the NCOP. We would love to know, because we are representing those people, and those people are looking at us when things are not going their way. They're not going back to the department. They say those people, those members of parliament, are not doing their work. And sometimes we do not know what your agenda is as the department, or what is your what type of work that you are going to do in a province. We need to stay informed, and there is no one that will inform us about science and technology except you guys. So make time for yourself to meet us as the committee. We will invite you. We have a choice of inviting you, but at the same time, if you have something that you think we need to know as this committee, you can also make that call so that we sit down and discuss issues that are developing our society. You're all most welcome to this meeting. Any apologies?
The chairperson of the committee, she's delayed, and she will be joining the committee late. She might arrive when we are done. So another apology, Ms. Moshoti is not well.
Any apologies from the department? Come with me, you did not know them. Any apologies? So there are no written apologies from the department. I think if you have any apologies, you can say them, but usually we agree on apologies that are written.
Honourable Chair, I'd just like to table the apologies of our Minister, who is representing the country with the Deputy President in Poland. Thank you.
The Director General as well, has other commitments that he couldn't make it to this meeting.
Okay.
Apology for him.
Thank you for those apologies. We are here as the Select Committee to listen to the briefing on this bill. We might not take any decision on the bill today. We might not do anything about it, because we will need to go to our different organizations and check their feeling about the bill. We might finish this bill next week on Wednesday. There is a possibility of finishing it next week on Wednesday. But if we agree as these different provinces and different organizations with the bill, we might pass the bill today as this committee also. But it only depends on the deliberations that are going to happen here in this room. So try to be, when you brief us as the department, try to brief us as much as possible, and try to be as clear as possible so that everybody understands. But that does not mean after you have briefed us, we wouldn't have some questions. There will be time for questions and clarities after your briefing. Thank you. Over to the department.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Maybe before I start with the presentation, if I may acknowledge the remarks that the Chairperson just made, and first maybe thank the committee for the time and the opportunity for us to come and present to the committee. And secondly, that we note the comments about us not having communicated enough with the committee. We would humbly and very gladly welcome any invitation that may come from the committee and commit ourselves to making enough effort to have meaningful discussions with the committee throughout the term of the parliament ending. I'm sure we have many good stories to tell, so we'd love to share these with the committee whenever an opportunity becomes available. So we hope to have lots and lots of interactions with you in the future.
Thank you. That will happen with the next people that are, will be elected to this committee. We only have next week at this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And then our apologies that we didn't tell as many good stories to this current committee. Chairperson, if I may proceed to with the presentation. This is the outline of what we would like to present to the committee. The purpose of the bill, the process that we went through, including the consultation process, and the key provisions that the bill has provided. In the background, Chairperson, we started this process of reviewing our legislation, some provisions dealing with the operational issues and the governance of the science councils that report to the DfT. The reason for this was to mainly review the processes in appointing of the boards and the councils. The reason for it being the inefficiencies that we thought were part of the process and were delaying these appointments and therefore creating lots of delays and inefficiencies in the process of appointing these boards. Some of the things that we thought were creating these efficiencies, the process we thought was a bit cumbersome, and the lines of processing the appointments were creating all these delays, in, particularly when it comes to filling the vacancies, as members either left the board for some reason or were not available to serve in these boards, and it would create problems in terms of delay. And also there were inconsistencies in terms of appointment with various entities, and we wanted to clear that and make sure that those inconsistencies are dealt with and the process is the same throughout all the entities that report to the department. The purpose of the bill, like I said, is to streamline these processes and also to harmonize them in terms of appointment of the chairpersons, the board of the councils, and the chief executive officers. And also the previous provisions or the act as it is now didn't provide for the dissolution in some cases, and wanted to have this provision also in place in case where there's a reason for the dissolution or reconstitution of the board or the extension of the terms of some of the members of the board. Therefore, we need to make sure that the governance processes are strengthened and they are harmonized and they are consistent with each other in the various entities, and the processes are efficient as possible. We also added a provision that will provide for the parliamentary reporting of all boards after the process of appointment and the dissolution of the boards has happened. Chairperson, the process that we went through is that we published the bill, we gazetted the bill in June, on the 5th of June in 2013, and the draft bill was forwarded to the Council for comments on the 6th of June, and we received comments and went through the consultation process during the month of June and July
in June you received the comments and then we started processing them right through until July. And as a result of the consultations and the comments that we received, we managed to review the bill and completed that in August. And the cabinet approved the draft bill in September. The bill was certified by the state law advisors in October and formally introduced to Parliament in October in 2013. The bill was again published for public consultation by the Portfolio Committee after interaction with the Portfolio Committee and was eventually approved by the National Assembly on the 4th of March in 2014. We did receive some comments from the gazetting process by the DST. We received comments from the South African Council for Natural Scientific Professions and from the NRF, from the Academy of South Africa, and from Dr. Rundowski from the Free State University. All the comments were dealt with technically, and all the recommendations were noted, and we also discussed this with the Portfolio Committee and indicated how we responded to the comments that we received from all the people who commented on the bill. Through the Portfolio Committee publication of the bill, we received only one comment that came from an independent citizen named Carl Heinz Ace. And the comments were also discussed and considered by the department and discussed with the Portfolio Committee, and the Portfolio Committee took an undertaking to give the comments back to the person that had commented on the bill. Chairperson, I could say broadly, the bill was welcomed by all stakeholders. If I may just go now to the key provisions per entity that we are proposing in the bill, starting with the Scientific Research Council Act, the CSIR Act. In this entity, we are providing for an independent appointment of the chairperson by the minister, the streamlining of the process for the appointment of the members of the board. This provision, if you can see that it's throughout all the other entities that are that we are dealing with now, it's applicable to all of them. And also, it provides for the extension of the term of office for the members of the board if necessary. It also sets out the grounds for disqualification of members of the board, which it didn't previously, and provides for the dissolution of and reconstitution of the board. It also harmonizes the process for the appointment and determination of the conditions of service for the chief executive officer. It also provides for preliminary reporting in relation to all boards or councils appointed and the dissolution of boards and councils thereof. With regard to the National Research Foundation Act, the NRF Act, the provision also for the appointment of additional two members of the NRF board from the National Advisory Council and Innovation, that is the NACI and the Council on Higher Education. We're making this provision so that we have members from these other two councils to be part of the board of the National of the NRF. It also, like other provisions, streamlines the process for the appointment of the members of the board. Also, it also harmonizes the process as it's provided with the other entities, the process for the appointment of the chief executive officer, and also in line with the other entities to provide for the extension of the term of office of the members of the board where it's necessary. It also provides for the grounds for termination of membership of the board and the dissolution and reconstitution of the board. It also, like all other entities, makes a provision for the reporting to Parliament. The ASAF, the Academy of Science of South Africa Act, the ASAF Act, provides for the extension of the term of the members of the council, like it does with the other entities, and also the reporting to Parliament the provision is included in this one as well. With the Natural Scientific Professions Act, the same provision of streamlining the process for the appointment of the council members, also the process of harmonizing the process is also included in this provision, and also for the extension of term of office of members of the board, and also the dissolution and reconstruction of the board. It also relaxes the requirement for professional registration of members' qualification in the science by state employees. This chairperson, if I may just indicate that it made it very difficult for us to appoint members who are representative of state, who are working for the public service, who will be registered as professionals. So we thought we could relax this rule so that we are able to recruit members who are working in the public service and who are qualified but may not be registered necessarily. And provide for parliamentary reporting as well, same as with other entities. And then the Human Science Research Council, the HSRC, it's a, like other entities, the streamlining of the process of for the appointment of members of the board, to provide for the extension of term of office for the board members, to provide for the dissolution and reconstitution of the board, the harmonization of process also is provided here for the determination of the conditions of the of service of the chief executive officer, and also the reporting process to parliament was included. And the new Technology Innovation Agency Act, same as with other entities, the streamlining of the process for the appointment of the board, the process of harmonization of the process for the appointment of the conditions of and the conditions of service of the chief executive officer. We also provided here for a mechanism to ensure the board representativity is taken care of. Also the extension of the term of office of the board members, the dissolution and the reconstruction of the board as well was included. Also like all other entities, we included the provision, the reporting provision of the to the to Parliament. The South African National Space Agency chairperson is all also the same provisions that you included with the other entities in terms of streamlining of the process, in terms of the harmonization of the appointment and the conditions of service of the CEO, and also the dissolution and reconstruction provision together with the reporting provision. Chairperson is, I may end here. I guess we can have more discussions as we talk, and if there are also any points of clarity that you may need to deal with as part of the discussion.
Thank you, ma'am. It's a pity that I've just met this document because of the many things. It has been there yesterday in my office, but because of the many committees that we serve in the NCOP, I could not interact with it as much as I would love to. And the other thing, all the amendments that you are doing in this bill, as you are presenting, it's not clear for the members to say this comes from clause number so and so, and the main amendment was saying the bill was stated like this before and the amendment is like that. But anyway, I will give over to the members if members have any clarity-seeking questions or questions to the department. I'm opening that space now for you members to do. And if you agree with the bill, you don't have any clarity-seeking questions, it's also fine. We'll just carry on. Thank you, Honorable Hasmeni and Honorable de Villiers.
Thanks very much, Acting Chairperson. Can the department just remind us of the term of office of the board members here?
I missed it here in the Amendment Act. And also, I remember at one stage you came here to present to us the process of appointment of a board members into one of your agencies or institutions, and how did that process went on. But in this bill, it doesn't mention any provision in terms of consultation with Parliament when you appoint this particular board. I think that's something that we need to consider. And also the bill does not make any reference to NCOP in terms of reporting. It's only NA that is mentioned here in the bill. Thank you very much,
Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Going straight to the bill in front of me, on page 3, 11, section 11, the minister must, within 30 days of the appointment or reappointment of a member of the board, submit a report to the National Assembly relating to such appointment or reappointment. Now, the NCOP is now here missing. Can you just give us some explanation why? And I understand that there is a 76 and a 75 bill, but the National Assembly are also part of Parliament. NCOP, also part of Parliament. Just an explanation on that one. And then on page 5, Honourable Chairperson, F4F, the members referred to in subsection 1A are appointed in their personal capacities. Now, my understanding under this word personal capacities is that when there's something happening which is actually not good to people outside the board, then if there's a case against somebody in the board, then they can sue that person in his personal capacity. Can you just give us an explanation in that relation? And then, Honorable Chairperson, on page 7, just before on page 6, there's a 6A, and then on page 7, there's a 6. Mustn't the numbering be 6A and 6B? If not, can you just give us that explanation also? The numbering, 6A, and follow up on that is 6. And then on page 9, again, you will see under 11C, referring to only National Assembly. If the first one is negative to the NCOP, then this one will be sorted out. And then, Honourable Chairperson, there's another one. Let me just go to that page. I marked it. Page 21, 36. Clause 19, and then it jumped over clause 20. You will find clause 19, and then clause 21, and then clause 22, 23. Why there is not a clause 20? Why? I think that's all my questions.
That is on page,
on page 21, oh, under 3.6. Yes.
Okay.
Honorable Makunyan.
Yeah, well, I would suggest that, you know, instead of writing National Assembly. Mm-hmm. You just refer to Parliament.
Yeah.
Because then if it says Parliament, then it refers to both houses. And then my other question that does not belong in this meeting. I've got a question about something else.
Yeah.
That does not belong to this.
You keep it for something else.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to say something?
I just want to say in the bill, National Assembly is not part of it.
No.
That's the reason why I'm asking this question.
Okay, yeah. No, I was You know, I was just suggesting to the minister that if they can just change all reference to National Assembly to Parliament in the bill, then it's also.
I just have one question.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure.
On your when you were giving us your background, you said the delays were experienced in the process of appointing and replacing members. Ne? I hear that the delay is about that we're experiencing is in the process, but what made the process to take so long? Because what I want to ask is, you delayed the process because there were no people that you got you in your interviews or when you were doing in your interviews. Yes, you did not find a person that is suitable, or you delayed because you did not advertise. What was the main delay on the process of appointing these members? Because I'm thinking that some of the things that the department wants to do, it's within that department. The processes are being held within that department because of certain things. Sometimes because of laziness of the officials within the department. Sometimes are things that are beyond your power that you could not process some other things. That's why I'm asking the question: what made the real delay of the processing? Was it in appointing these people? Was it because there was no qualified person for the post?
Thanks, Chair. Honourable Faba. And I'm not going to give the second round. I'm allowing you to ask as many questions as you.
Thank you, Chair. Just there's just one technical issue on page 5, and you would see that section 4 is A, B, C, D, E, and then F, F. There's F. I see it is in our research document that there's two F's, so I suppose that there must just perhaps F, G, or except perhaps if it's F1 or F2, I'm not exactly sure what the reason is for the two F's there.
F, G, and F2.
Yeah, you know, perhaps I don't know, maybe it must be if that it's F1 and F2, I don't know, or maybe just F, G, and just go down the alphabet, just to make sure about that.
All the others will be there.
And then, yes, and then obviously the other clauses will then just follow according to the alphabet. And then the second issue, my colleague Honourable de Villiers did touch on it, that it states that the National Assembly, now even though it is might be Section 75 bills, and not so much Section 76 bills that come to this committee that has to go to provinces, even Section 75 bills have to come to this committee. So I also would like to say that perhaps we must use the term Parliament, which consists of both houses, instead of just the National Assembly. Thank you.
Honourable Khasmin. Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. At the end of the day, what you have just said says, even if the bill is a Section 75, it goes down to NCOP. For concurrence, so it has to be the two houses, really, not only one house. Thanks. Over to you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll ask my colleague Baba to respond to some of the issues with the sections and deal with the other matters raised as well.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Honourable members, just to comment on some of the technical drafting questions.
Sorry, Barbara. You said you are the legal person or an advisor to Parliament. Oh, okay.
So I'm your legal advisor, ma'am. Honourable members, I think Honourable de Villiers spoke about the 6A and the AS sections on page 6 and 7. The 6A refers to the section in the amendment or in the Principal Act, whereas the 6 on page 7 is the clause in the amendment bill. It reads a bit funny, but the 6A is actually not content-wise part. It will be part of the Principal Act at the end, while the 6 stays in the amendment bill. I don't know if I'm clarifying myself correctly. And then with the memorandum, it's almost like an explanatory summary that a department compiles to go with a bill when it goes through the processes of the houses. So that if there is a section that requires further clarity or is not self-explanatory or the department just wants to add something, they will explain it in there. So from a drafting perspective, there is no there's no obligation for there to be a paragraph on every clause. It's when the drafter feels there's a need for it to be inserted. So the clause 20, I think that you mentioned was missing. That's not something that is necessarily an error. If a committee feels there needs to be an explanation, that can be inserted. But also just to alert members, the memo at the end of the day does not form part of the act. That when the president signs the bill into legislation, this part falls away. It becomes a pure research additional document. It does not, the memo itself does not become law. So that's something easy. So it can be amended, the committee can change, the department can add in as explanation is required. Then with the if honourable members, that typo has been picked up. We have consulted with the bill's office, and the bill's office agrees that a technical alteration will be done. When they do the second language bill, or they need to translate this into a second language. And at the end of the day, that if is not going to be part of the Principal Act, because this is an amendment bill. So it doesn't, that this is a double if, doesn't impact on what members will vote on as an amendment in the Principal Act. So what they'll do is they'll just align the second language bill with this one, and that if will then fall away and everything will fall into place. But they have been alerted to that as well. So if that is clarification sufficient for the members, I'll hand over to my colleague.
There's a follow-up or question on what you have clarified. I assume so.
Yes, you know me.
Yeah, I know
you better.
Thank you.
Just on the clause 20, you're saying there's no difference or amendment on the clause 20. And that's the reason why it's not stated here. Is my understanding correct or what? So I'm going further away now into the bushes.
Honourable member, there is an amendment in the Principal Act due to that clause, but it may be a case where the amendment itself, as it is in the bill, is so self-explanatory that it's not always necessary to rewrite the reason for it in an amendment. So an amendment or a memo to an amendment or even a normal bill, as it is, a new bill, is to provide further explanation or context where needed.
Okay, I'll give over to you.
Thanks, Chairperson. If I may start with the question from Honourable Khasmeni about the term of office of the CEO. This is one of the other problems that we plan to deal with moving on forward, because the terms are different from various entities. And we would like to have that clearly specified and consistent with various entities. And maybe touching on what we also, Chairperson, talked about earlier on, about the in consultation also with Parliament, and also maybe it covers the delays or inefficiencies that the Chairperson talked about earlier on. Also, what we're proposing here is harmonizing
because in some bills it would say in consultation with, in some it would say after consultation, and wanted that to be consistent, and also to strengthen the oversight function of Parliament, so that the responsibility and accountability to the Minister is clear that he's accountable for this, and Parliament is coming as an oversight in the process, but not being part of the process and then being oversight to be kind of difficult to manage that process. So the bill is trying to deal with that. And in case of the delays, they vary, but the one that we are requesting Parliament to assist us with is this issue in consultation, because sometimes the vacancy opens when it's not possible for Parliament to sit, or it's not possible to consult. It's during periods where there's no Parliament sitting, and then we have to wait for months before we can either appoint, and in some cases it becomes a non-compliance issue because we overstayed the period, because that is in addition to, we always advertise, the process has to be open, obviously. We have to advertise for a certain period and abide by that, and the process of shortlisting, and it also, it does just not one person who does that. A committee must be appointed to do the shortlisting, a committee must be appointed to advise the minister, and the committee, sometimes the availability of the committee becomes an issue, and it takes even longer. So we try to make that process still as open and transparent as it's supposed to be, but to make it more efficient. It's no wrongdoing whatsoever from the side of Parliament, just like the schedule sometimes did not work in our favour, and we'd like to still comply, but do it even better and more efficient. So those are the issues that you're dealing with. And we besides the issues that you're dealing with, the provisions that you're dealing with here, we would like to harmonise many other provisions within the Act. We've already put a plan in place that will deal with those, that harmonisation of all the provisions in the department, and we would like to deal with all these other issues that may be different from one entity and to the other entity, and make sure that they are consistent. And we're hoping to deal with this issue of the National Assembly and Parliament when we deal with it, so that if it's possible not to delay this bill, we would really appreciate, but definitely agree with the issue raised on the reporting, because the oversight is definitely not just one house. I think it was an oversight on our side to not use the word Parliament instead of National Assembly. And if I may ask my colleagues to,
are there any additionals to what the presenter has said from the department? Do you have any additionals that you want to make? Any comments? Nothing. I wanted to make a follow-up question on the terms of office that you spoke about, and the issue that they vary from entity to entity. Does that mean, even if the bill is not stating that, it's not stating the terms of office of the chairperson and the CEO, it was not necessary for those terms to be put in the bill, or it will come later with the regulations and other things that will come later? Are you agreeing also on the fact that the Parliament is made up of two houses? When you speak of any consultations that are supposed to be made to Parliament, it's going to be the NA and the NCOP. Are you agreeing on that?
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. I'll ask my colleague to give you the details on the terms of office. Also, with the National Assembly and Parliament issue, we do agree, definitely agree, that it's to two houses. It was an oversight from our side too. We agree with you that you report to both houses. It's not in the bill as it is now. If we'll be allowed to go ahead and in our harmonization process that's going to take place this year, we include, we change that to make it to Parliament so that it covers both houses. That we agree with.
I'm coming to you, Honourable
Mayor.
I'm sorry, Chairperson,
Brian will also deal with it. In the members' personal capacity that member de Villiers raises.
Thanks, Chair. The acts that we are amending, all of them provide for the terms of office of members of the board, but the terms of office are not the same with regard to all entities. As the DDG explained later, that there is a process that we have got, that we have set up an action plan for to deal with, amongst others, the harmonization of all those issues, and some that we felt that were not part of this process, because this process dealt with issues that have been identified in the exercise that was conducted by the department, which then reacted to it. But then there was an discussions also on the harmonization broadly of you know, to ensure that all the entities, the processes and everything is the same. So we've got an action plan for that, which will culminate in the development of the act that we'll be submitting to Parliament hopefully next year to deal with that too. And we were also the issue also we also of referring to Parliament instead of the National Assembly. We also want to request that we also accommodate that in that process that we'll be bringing to Parliament hopefully early next year. On the issue that Mr. de Villiers, Honourable de Villiers raised regarding the reference to appointment in the personal capacity, the intention here is to appoint people because of their qualifications, skills, and knowledge, not in a representative capacity, as representing an interest of a particular stakeholder or entity. So it's personal capacity as opposed to representative capacity, representing different interests. But when it comes, because the person becomes a member of the board and cannot be sued in their personal capacity because they will be acting as a board member, it won't extend to doing whatever decisions that they take as part of the board becomes their decisions as board members, not as personal, not as individuals sitting on the board. So the personal capacity relates to serving not other personal interest, or party or stakeholder interest or institutional interest. That's right.
Thank you. Do you want to say something?
Honourable Chair, just to elaborate on the point that Brian Mutwa made to Honourable de Villiers, the mischief that needed to be corrected by appointing members of the boards in their personal capacity was to avoid the situation where members had to withdraw in order to get a mandate from the organisation that had supposedly nominated them, instead of getting on with the business of the entity in council that they were serving. So they are competent in their personal capacity to serve on the board. That is the meaning of appointment in personal capacity. That they are not nominated with a mandate from a particular organization, university, etc. Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. de Villiers?
Yeah.
Honorable de Villiers.
Thank you, Honorable. I think from
the legal advisor research, there must be a very direct explanation for that maybe there must be another trait for what is actually explaining from the department side to us this morning. Because I'm not okay with all the legal phrases and stuff. That is the reason why I'm asking that question. And then the other one, Honorable Chairperson, is in the bill, it stated that the period of the chief executive not more than 5 years. In this bill, not more than 5 years. It's not direct 5 years or 4 years. So there's a space, open. And I think that is the reason why the question is coming through. And then the other one also is in connection with the chief executive officer. When absent more than 2 months, the period of that executive officer will be terminated. It is under 3, page 4. E. By the substitution for subsection 4 of the following subsection, for whenever for any reason, the chief executive officer A is absent for a period of more than 2 months or is unable to carry out his or her duties, whenever there is a vacancy in the seizes the whole office. Now, I think that is very stringent. Maybe for my understanding, but not from the department side or to any other honorable members. But I think maybe we must look into that situation also, the phrase of the wording. And then under F, it is more clear. If the chief executive office is absent for a period of less than 2 months, he or she must, after consultation, so is carried out. Only that, Mr. Chairperson. Thank you. Now I think I'm finished.
Honorable Mnube, I'll come to you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Maybe in addition to what he's asking, it's not more than 2 months, then the appointment of the acting. So what happens within the 2 months? Nobody will act. Will there be a vacuum to say there will be no person? Is that the implication? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Davidians. If we can have a look at the clause again on page 4 that you referred to. This is page 4, section 3, subsection E. That's just for reference of everybody. The main clause reads, whenever for any reason, this is sub-clause 4, whenever for any reason the chief executive officer is absent for a period of more than 2 months, is unable to carry out his or her duties, or ceases to hold office. That's how it reads. In that case, the board must, in consultation with the minister, appoint a replacement. On the other hand, in section F, as the Honorable Numbe has pointed to, if the chief executive officer is absent for a period of less than 2 months, the chief executive officer must appoint somebody during that period to stand in for them. So if I am the chief executive, I'm going to be absent, I know that. I must appoint somebody to act in that position during that. So whether it's a week or 2 weeks, doesn't matter. That's the CEO must do that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Just to respond to Honorable Villiers' question for clarification on the personal capacity phrase, I think it's important, if I understand correctly, the personal capacity you have a concern when it comes to them being liable, individually liable. That goes more to a company, I think, corporate governance context, company law context. But if you're already on the board, that could be a fear, I think, where it comes from, where somebody, are they
liable as a unit or individually. With this one, the personal capacity here goes more if it's read in the context of that clause when it's in that appointment phase. So here it's not used in the context of the person's already on the board and you should already acting within that corporate governance structure. It's the in-between. The personal capacity is almost a qualification for that appointment. So when the minister looks to appoint, he'll look at the candidates, and I think that's what Brian was also trying to explain. Look at the candidates and their individual capacity for qualification. Do they meet the criteria? But also then look at those individuals within the broader unit of the board. Do they, are they broadly representative? So it's almost like a two-pronged two sides to the same coin within the appointment process. So yes, in their personal capacity, they must first tick all the boxes as well. And that is where I think the personal capacity in this context comes in. So once that appointment phase is done, that the normal corporate governance rules will kick in when the board is running. So that won't carry over to that.
Thanks to the department. That was question and clarities in our discussion. I've mentioned the fact that if we agree on the bill, can we go clause by clause or do we leave that for next week? I want you members to give me direction so that if we because the amendments we have pointed out some amendments, which means we cannot do the adoption and the report of on the bill now. But are we going to go through the bill clause by clause now, or do we leave that for next week also? Over to you, members.
Chairperson, I think what we must do is when going through the bill clause by clause, we can do that next week. So then the next bill in front of us will be stated with the correct amendments, and then we can go through it, and then there we can decide. Okay, that is my comment on it. Thank you.
Honorable Ruben, he stole my words. I second.
Thanks, honorable members. Let me take this opportunity to thank the department for coming and explain and give us the briefing on the bill. We will deal with the bill as a committee next week, clause by clause. The date for next week, it's going to be the 19th. Then we'll sit down as a committee and see and go through the bill to as per our mandate. Let me thank the members for availing themselves. I know it's very hectic because we are going towards the end of the term. Everybody is wanted, and every committee that you are coming from or that you are going to, you were supposed to be, it's a very important committee within Parliament. There is no committee that is lower than any other committee. I want to thank the staff members. The department, I want to thank you for coming with the bill to us and explaining everything that we did not understand about the bill. Hope to work with you in the next term if we do come back to the NCOP and we have registered the fact that we only saw your minister I think once. Yeah, during the time Yaga, Honorable Naledi, ne? Yeah, I think once. Yes, in Naledi Pande, once, if I'm not mistaken, but we have seen that the minister once. And as the NCOP, we usually take note of that and we sometimes become so angry and we chase the department back to wherever they're coming from, whether from Pretoria, from Johannesburg, from Cape Town, or wherever. And you were lucky because we are now a little bit lenient because we are going on elections. We don't want to lose your vote. So that is why we are a little bit lenient to you. Then you must also acknowledge that as the department. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you.
Sorry, can I stop before it's outside the meeting? Sorry.
You are opening my meeting that I have closed.
With all due respect, Chairperson, I'm not over.
Open it.
No,
Chairperson,
she's not opening it. That one.
You open it.
I will open it for the woman.
No, if you say this meeting is closed, I will listen to
you. Okay, Chairperson, it's a request that you would like to make to the committee. That you remember the delays and the issue that we talked about earlier on, that we have a council that we're supposed to be appointing now, and we've suspended the appointment pending the approval of this bill, hopefully that the committee would be in favor of the bill and approve it. So we humbly request that we make it possible to be able to finalize it so that we don't create other compliance problems with the other processes. And also to thank the committee for the consideration of the bill and for the discussions with the regarding the bills that we had today. And on behalf of the minister, to again apologize for him not being here today together with the Director General. And as promised earlier on that we will make a commitment that we have as much interaction with the committee as possible. And with the minister's schedule, from the invitation from the committee.
No, thanks. Honourable Chairperson, the speediness of us passing it will depend on you in redrafting this and changing it. Then come back.
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to say, Chairperson, before you close, just to remind the committee that this bill amends a number of principal acts, Chairperson, which in them already refer to the National Assembly, you know, in certain provisions that are not amended here, you know. So I would propose, Chairperson, that it would be more, I don't want to say appropriate, I can't find the correct word, advisable, Chairperson, to go with the proposal that the department made, that you allow them to go back, Chairperson, to holistically look at the various provisions that refer to National Assembly that exclude the NCOP, because now it will look half of that in the Act. You'll find certain provisions saying mm-hmm. National Assembly and then others saying Parliament, you know. Mm-hmm. So it would be nicer to allow them that space that they've asked for, that they are saying they are already in the process of reviewing all these acts and looking at these provisions and holistically dealing with them, to allow them that process to then come back holistically to address all those issues, you know, holistically. Because if you read the Act now, once it's done, somewhere it will say, let's say in the same section, provision that was not amended here, it would say Parliament, and then another one would say National Assembly. It wouldn't make sense, you know. It would look clumsy. So why do we understand the concern of the NCOP? But I think it should be done properly when it's done. Thank you, Chair.
That's why we are saying the department should go back and amend and put in all the amendments that we have made, that we agreed on, so that on Wednesday we just finalize the bill together, if it's possible.
Okay.
You are talking about it amends other acts.
and the committee was talking to this. Not in other acts. So, are you then saying, as I've heard you, the National Assembly is not highlighted? So if it is not highlighted, it is this bill is not amending it. So we're out of order. Is that what you're saying? Thanks.
I don't want this dialogue. Can I give over to you, Bob?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honourable members. Just to supplement what my colleague Sisa is saying, the 7 principal acts that are all feeding into this one bill, but this bill only opens certain sections of those acts. And in terms of Parliament's rules, if it's not a committee drafted bill, only a certain clause is open and for the committee to look at. And what Sisa is saying is the concern now, and the committee members are completely correct in saying that Parliament has 2 houses, and that should be clarified. But that mistake is unfortunately still in other closed clauses in those 7 principal acts. And what the department is acknowledging is that should be looked at, and they already started the process in reviewing comprehensively those 7 pieces of legislation to make sure that with the next batch of amendments that they bring, that will be fixed. The problem now from a consistency perspective, and that's I think where CISA is coming from, is if we can now, in this bill as it stands, we can start correcting that to change now from Assembly to Parliament, because those clauses are open in those 7 now. But now you're going to have a situation where it's going to, until that next batch of amendments come in a year or so, that it's going to read out of sync. Mm. It's going to read in one bill, it's going to read Parliament and National Assembly, and it's going to make it difficult interpretation-wise to determine what was the intent behind it, what's the process. So I think the humble request is in acknowledging, and that my colleagues from the department have put now on record, they acknowledge that should be looked at. They are looking at it. The request is just to, this is an interim. This bill, if I can take the liberty, and the department can correct me if I'm wrong, I see it almost as an interim measure, something to keep the entities functional while they are doing the holistic, overall, comprehensive review to fix all of those mistakes, to not make it look clumsy, and to give Parliament due respect and to keep the processes with all those time periods and terms to do that. So it's a bit of it's a big process, and this is but one step or one small step to work now, but towards that legislative certainty that we are working towards. Thank you, Chair.
So in all you are saying, the amendments that we have made will not really change in the bill. They have to stay as they are until all those other pieces of legislation are being are changed together with this one. Okay, Honourable Faba.
Thanks, Chair. I do feel for you on that, unfortunately, and I'm saying unfortunately because of the following reasons. It just seems to me like we are busy with a spot. So I say I understand what our legal advisor is saying, that this one will read Parliament and the other one National Assembly. But somehow you should start at a start. And if you're going to say we will do that in the totality of the bill at some stage, when will that be? And this is the problem that I have. If you're going to say when we do the whole bill, when will that take place? And you know, we're actually almost like extending dates on, because then we're part busy with another part of a bill and another part of a bill, and eventually you've now redone this on National Assembly. And when you do the whole bill, you have to go back to change this. So this is the issue that I have. I think we should maybe have a more comprehensive debate on this. Because if we don't change that now, that means when the totality of the bill comes into perspective, then you're going to have to go back to this part and then change it, which I don't know you can do. This is why I say, should you not start doing it piece by piece? And perhaps in a clause, refer
do National Assembly but already change it now instead of waiting till then to change it, and just perhaps in inverted commas or brackets just say previous National Assembly, because otherwise you're going to sit with a situation where when you do redo the whole bill, you have to come back to this and you have to redo this as well, which doesn't make sense to me.
Here, our role as a committee is to, it can't be amended yet. Next week, if we postpone this meeting for finalization next week, the bill will come back as it is. Our role as a committee is to propose amendments. Now, as you have a report, the report that we always have here, it indicates that as a committee of consider the report, if we have proposed amendments, we need to have yet, not yet. So, if we do propose amendments to committee, those listed on the committee report. Mm-hmm. And the committee report will be sent back to the National Assembly to look at our proposed amendments. The National Assembly is under no obligation to accept this. The Section 75, if we can make amendments in this term, and they can be accepted by the National Assembly. So it's important that I explain that.
But you also have no obligation to the edit go through the
okay.
Thanks, Chairperson. I fully understand Honourable Member Faber's concern. The process we have already started with the amendment of the other all seven of them. We've made a commitment to the National Assembly as well that given the meeting time frames. It's starting, when Brian says sometime next year, he means sometime next financial year, which is this calendar year.
Next year.
Okay. Yeah, well, in our terms, maybe financial year, 1st April. But it's a process that we have started, there's a project plan for it, and we, because like we said, this one was mainly to make it easier to work, to have capacity with the board, to have people in time with the board, and like my two colleagues are saying, now if we go and change these clauses, it's going to be the same bill reading differently. And that's what we're doing with many other clauses within the bill. And as we deal with all those, well, we'll be dealing with those bills anyway, mm-hmm. So we'll have to come back to some of these clauses,
yes,
and change some of the wording or the provisions or the conditions. So that's our humble request, that please give us this. We have set a maximum period of 2 years. That's a maximum. We're working hard on the project plan to finish it within one calendar year and bring it back to Parliament so that it harmonizes with the same, and for all entities, and one bill talks one language and inconsistent with the other bills.
Okay.
So that's the request, Chairperson, that you make.
Yes,
you agree.
Yes, I agree.
Do you agree? Because we say there is nothing that we are going to change. I'm the Chairperson here, and I need to use my power.
Okay.
there is nothing that we are going to change in the bill. Are we going for clause by clause now and then adopt the report now, or what? I'm relying on you members. Honorable Broad.
Thank you, Chair. After the explanation by the committee secretary, which tells us that the amendment will be on a report and not on the paper, I don't see why we cannot finish this bill now, adopt it clause by clause, and have those amendments that we have already discussed being put on the report as said. That's what I move for. We have time. We said the meeting is until 12:30. It's still going to 12:00. We can finish. Thank you.
Honorable de Villiers.
Yes,
can we have one meeting, please?
Yes,
members.
because we would know you're not listening to what the other members are saying, and it's going to take us time to go back to what they have said. Honorable de Villiers.
You see, Chairperson, I already switched on my phone.
Cell phone. Sorry for that.
Now, we already made a decision on what will be the process after the presentation of the department and our inputs on the bill. Now we're walking back. And I understand what the secretary is saying. So this, I don't think that it will be so difficult to stick to that decision. So that the department can come back to us next week on those amendments which we referring to this morning, and then next week in that meeting we can go clause by clause and then approve the bill. There's no problem. So what is the problem that we must now go back to the decision already made and then not going to next week? So there's certain items which we as members here in this committee also, that I will study this bill again, because there's a lot of things which I picked up in this bill. So that time frame will be there for me also to have some other inputs on the bill. If there's nothing, next week I will just come here and say approve, agree, and finish.
Thanks, Honorable de Villiers. Honorable Mook.
Because I arrived late when I was, I think my apology was tabled, was in another meeting. What I was trying to get clarity here is that, is it National Assembly the only thing that has been proposed by this committee, which you then see in other seven bills, it is National Assembly. So what I was asking him to get clarity to say, are there any other amendments? However, I want to differ with what the secretary is saying. He might be saying this because National Assembly is closing on Thursday. We have a right, even if it is not, like I'm saying, is it National Assembly only or any other amendment. With the right, even if it is Section 75, there are many bills that we have amended, not only this committee, other committees have done that. And as the National Assembly is closing on the 18th, they are aware that all these bills that they have sent to us, even Section 76 or 75, they may come in April, come back to look into those and vote on them. So we have a right of amending. But the process now is that the term is ending, they're closing. And what you would mean, as we have amended, is that these amendments have to go to a portfolio of science and technology. They will then have to look into it. If they decide in that meeting that they are not putting them there, then it should then go that route. So not that you, because it says so we can't amend. Thank you.
Thanks. To answer your question, your concern, Honorable Nube, we're not having only amendments on the National Assembly issue. We had amendments on certain clauses on the way the alphabets are being put, and they promised to go and rectify those things. So those will appear in the the technical problems that we have picked up. Those will appear in the bill, in the correct version of the bill. So you promised us to do those corrections, but if there is nothing else that we are going to correct in the bill, I think Honorable Ncube has raised the point that even us, we are going to rise next week. But if there is anything, any urgent thing that needs our attention in Parliament, especially with the bills that we have in front of us, if we have to call for a plenary, we've asked the members. I think if the provincial whips have called their delegations, they have told their delegation that we will be called within April to come and to come for plenaries and to come and consider some other bills and adopt other bills that need to be adopted. I think the members in front, we've got two different views on this. The others say this week, now, today. The others say next week. In fact, let me say one member says next week. Now it will be correct for now. The other members that have spoken, they say next week. So I am not sure what do we do because we can't go for vote. That's for sure.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, to allow those who want to read further, let's compromise and say next week. But people, this is a very tiny thing. It's just a drop that will be stopping us. But let's compromise and say next week. It's fine. And we are tired.
Just a correction, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Just to get instruction and direction from you, Chair, now for preparation for next week, so that both myself and the committee secretary can just work on a draft report with proposed amendments. From what we got from the discussion so far, would members then want us to, I know that the department has now humbly requested an extension for the parliament in a supplement to stand over. Should that then still be drafted as a proposed amendment in the report? Should we still look at that?
So for
clarity purposes, that's the only proposed draft that we will be drafting for next week.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
I think we agree on the National Assembly and NCOP on issue, ne? We agree that it's not going to change in the bill. It's going to stay like that. We just have those small technical things that need to be reviewed.
With permission, Chair, the technical issues that I commented on in response to Honourable the Villiers' questions, those on content ones, you don't draft those in as a proposed amendment. The memo one is not part of the legislation. The other one is already being aligned because of the translation. That's not something that's going to, it's not part of the substance wording that's amending the principal act. So we don't note that as an amendment. So that's why I'm asking, the only amendment that we got, or possible amendment that needed to be drafted, that we got out of the discussions, was the Parliament National Assembly one, and that's now standing over. So then I think as the committee secretary proposed the draft for report, that draft report stands over to next week then? Am I correct, Chair?
Honourable members, that's the situation. Yeah, what? Do we adopt the report, the bill now? Do we go clause by clause? I don't want you to say yeah and not explaining what yeah stands for. Honorable Broad.
I said, You know, the more explanations are given, the more I understand what we should do. And I don't think there is anything stopping us now from continuing and finishing this and adopting it. And if we still have different views, Chair, I don't know why you are saying you won't go for a vote. I think we can go for a vote. Thank you.
Honorable Khatman. We are going to do clause by clause now.
Yes.
Can we continue? Bona ke as close as they identify you anga apha as the close kufuneka ze amend you. Yeah. As close kufuneka ze amend you. You need to be. Let's go close by close, members. Can we go page by page, page one of the bill? Page one? Do we agree on page one?
Yes.
Page two? Hey, it's for the first time that I will be adopting it.
Yes.
The saying was read clause by clause. There was one bill that caused the half work when it was just page. Clause by clause, you're saying page one, page two. It's a technical thing.
It
came back.
This bill, we did not amend any clause in this bill. That is why I'm saying let's go page by page, because we did not amend any clause from this bill. Page 4, page 3. Any clause on page 3? Page 4. Page 5, Page, are you calling it corrections legal advice? No, I want you to agree on us that on page 5, there are those corrections that need to be done. Are you calling it corrections?
These are technical corrections that will be attended to with the printout chairperson. You don't need to note them in your...
Thank you.
For instance, also at the end, there's something that always crops up in the short title. It still refers to 2013. That will be something that will be dealt with the printout chairperson. It's always done in all the bills. So it's not something that needs to be... Yes, chairperson.
Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9. Page 10. Page 11. Page 12. Page 13. Page 14. Nothing was picked in page 14. Page 16. Your 15. Page 16. Page 17. Page 18. Page 19. page 20. This also is not indicated at page 20. Page 21. Page 22. Yeah. Let me read the report of the committee. Report of the Select Committee on Education and Recreation on the Science and Technology Law Amendment Bill, Bill B336B of 2013, National Assembly, Section 75, dated 12 March 2014. The Select Committee on Education and Recreation, having considered the subject of the Science and Technology Law Amendment Bill, Bill B36B of 2013, National Assembly, Section 75, referred to it and classified by the Joint Tagging Mechanism as a Section 75 bill, reports that it has agreed to the bill. Thank you. You sign?
Yeah.
Oh.
Chair, I want to confirm what the second that report, because we might seem to be fewer, but with five provinces that are here, this goes further. We don't care about the walkout. Thank you.
Let me thank the members again for reconsidering the first resolution that we took, and the department. Also, I must thank you for coming to us. This is not always happening within this committee. We don't do it this way. It's the other way that we wanted it to happen. I'm just saying this for you to note that it's not always going to be as easy as today. You know what I said before, what makes us to be more lenient. So thanks, and don't forget the date of the
Thank you very much. I'm going to go to the hospital.